the 2024-2023 regular town council meeting at 6:10. Roll call, please.
Brad Amos.
Present.
Scott McVoy.
Present.
Terry Langford.
Present.
Randy Mobley.
Present.
Matt Czarnecki.
Present.
Town attorney Jacob Elder.
Present.
Town manager Charlie Smith.
Here.
And clerk treasurer Michelle Miller is present.
All right, thank you. Please join us for prayer. Paul Rhodes from St. John Paul II. Here to lead us in prayer and then followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let's pause for a minute, clear our minds, open our hearts, and our minds to the past presence. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for this beautiful day you've given us. We thank you now for the time we've been allotted to come together to guide our town, bring the best we can to the citizens. Father, we pray that you will bless all those that have worked in this town, that you'll take care of our police, our leaders, our workers. Father, just take care of them each and every day. Bless their families. Father, just bless the families of all those who live in Sellersville. Father, we ask that in a bigger view, you bless this country, provide good leadership, that you keep us safe and at peace. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will always be with us, guide us in wisdom and understanding in all we do. We thank you now for these blessings you've given us. We pray you will guide us in all we do. In your name we pray.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Motion to adopt or amend the agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Matt, you have a second.
Second.
Second by Scott, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval of minutes is submitted by the clerk treasurer.
So moved.
Also on our website, motion by Matt, you have a second. Second by Randy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval of allowance claims also submitted by the clerk treasurer and noted upon our website.
So moved.
A motion by Matt, you have a second.
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Approval of payroll allowance documents submitted by the clerk treasurer and also upon our website.
So moved.
A motion by Matt, you have a second.
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Second there to sign. Please, and get it back. Thank you, Randy. So have any comments from the public on the agenda items? Looks like none tonight. The ordinance and resolutions, no unfinished business. We'll move right along here to new business this evening. First is Covered Bridge stop sign intersections. Charlie's giving you all a copy here of different locations of stop sign proposals to look at and evaluate. I know this has been a discussion amongst us all on how to make some of our larger neighborhoods a little bit more safer and control the speed, and I think maybe this, we hope, is a solution moving forward. So Charlie, you have some things that you have to say, or Vice President DeBoye, you know, is this your topic of discussion, the chief?
Sure.
Go ahead.
I know we've had several neighborhood meetings in Cover Bridge, both the Willows, Woods, and the original Cover Bridge, as well as residents back in Bay Point. And obviously we had a traffic study that encompassed Cover Bridge as well. And I think we're speaking with Charlie, members of the community, looking to keep the speed limit, or speed enforced. I know the chief has sent cars out there to do traffic enforcement. I've also seen the speed signs out there, so I appreciate you doing that as well. Serve as a reminder of what the posted speed limit is and what people are actually doing as far as traveling on the road. These stop signs, again, by ordinance, will have to get approval from the chief in the future, over the next week or so. But they're designed, again, to break some of the traffic up, bring them to a stop, thus lowering the overall average speed limit. I believe that the majority of the residents in my district, and specifically this deep neighborhood, are supportive of this solar bond. Charlie, do you have anything additional that you need to add? So I think the next step would be for the chief to per the ordinance to go out, and him or his designee, look at the proposed stop signs to be placed in those intersections, and then approve those. And as we pointed out before, while they use the decorative, not the standard stop signs, the HOA is responsible for payment of those. However, we will provide the basic stop sign, it's the sign itself, and installation, which we have always done in the neighborhood. So there is an additional taxpayer expense for that. So I don't have anything further. But I ask Charlie to bring this back for approval at the next meeting for this specific location.
I'm glad to answer any questions that may have arisen. Councilman DeBoye's conversation regarding this.
Like I said, I just, my end of it, it seems like that you all discussed, chief discussed,
Brad, I'm concerned. I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
The stop signs, and forgive me if I'm not looking at it right, but the stop signs are at the end of the cul-de-sacs, or are they?
Those will be three-way stops.
Three-way.
So the main road, so you'll have a stop sign at the end of the cul-de-sac for those that live on the cul-de-sac. But the main road, if you're looking at the one on Greenbrier, will have two stop signs facing, which would be north and south. So you would have, it would be a three-way stop at that location.
Okay.
So it would be very similar to Lakeside and Silver Plains that were just added.
Chief, do you have anything to add?
I've looked at most of these locations, and I say I was at the last meeting with the Cover Bridge residents and Councilman DeBoye. I say, I don't know if you need me to wait, but I'm already okay, because I've talked with the town manager about these. I'm good with these locations, so you could actually pass these tonight if you get this going, because I'm good with the locations on this map.
I'm perfectly fine with that moving forward.
Okay, but we got to have an ordinance here.
We got to have an ordinance for the thing.
So we'll bring that to ordinance for the specific locations. We'll vote on the next meeting. But I appreciate your input, Chief. We can add that to the minutes for the next meeting that the chief has approved the stop sign locations in Cover Bridge. Thank you, Michelle.
All right. Next is a customer account adjustment request, Norwegian Partners.
Can I ask you all of these? You want to approve these?
Okay, and then the other one is customer account adjustment request for the Sprinkle Apartments. In front of you, it looks like you have two sets of documentations that's provided you with documents are stating whether it's a major leak repair or asking for the waiver of late fees waived due upon full payment of the prior account on the other bill here. So Charlie, you got it? So like I said, your first one here was Norwegian, looks like had some...
That's Hometown Plaza.
Hometown Plaza, okay. And the amount of $1,373.26. And then you had the sprinklers, an amount of $1,801.59.
So it's actually Greenbrier Properties Northwest that owns the property.
Yes.
It is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's recently been sold.
But the original account paid the $25,556.91.
Yes, sprinklers paid.
Sprinklers paid that one.
I'll make that motion.
Hey, a motion by Matt for the approval of waiving the $1,801.59 and the adjustment of $1,373.26. Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you.
Both account numbers.
Board of Sullivanburg, wastewater discussion. Charlie?
Sure. Wastewater consultant.
Okay, I'm sorry, what?
No, it's for all of us.
I guess this will be on our back page, our last page of our... Right here? No.
No, you don't have anything like this in front of you.
All right.
No. This is just your thoughts. As most of you are aware, we've been kind of talking about this off and on for a while now as we've been rolling around the West Northwest pump station conversation and how it has evolved from where we were to where we are now. And that has evolved into the Borden-Sellersburg Wastewater Cooperative Project that has been funded, the design portion, through the GREDI program. And that has been approved for $1.5 million. I'm sure you all know that. We have had a meeting here. Gosh, now it's been almost a month ago, with the group of stakeholders, consisting of, you know, everybody from all different parts along the route there. So that goes from Starlight to Borden, runs along the abandoned railroad corridor there. That's going to become part of the trail. Down to Perry Crossing, keeps coming down to you guys where West Northwest. I know that at one point we had looked at that location, I think way back when, now it's been a minute, looked at the plans and project area for the West Northwest pump station site, so that will still be a piece of this, and then, you know, pick up from there to tie in at 10th Street. And so part of this, and I can let Charlie speak to this part if he wants to, is essentially the contract management portion is going to run through the town so that you all can provide most of the oversight and have kind of a guiding hand on how things are running and going, and given that we have the close working relationship that we've had, that just makes the most logistical sense. This project has several stakeholders involved. It is about 20 miles long, so it's a very, very substantial project for this area. I think we have figured out it's going to be at least 4 pump stations, potentially adding 2, possibly 3 more along the way, with the ability to serve even some of the unincorporated areas of Clark County. And really, we just wanted to kind of bring it up to talk a little bit about it. We've kind of, I know that Brad is very well aware of it, and I know that we've had some conversations going here and there about it. The project itself has been kind of broken up into 4 different segments, if you will, to kind of address different areas for each stakeholder kind of group there. And as we move along, we do anticipate that each of those segments will probably be bid separately for construction to likely allow construction to be completed in a more timely, also more competitive fashion. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that...
Is there a time frame on this?
Time frame for...
Completion, what we're looking at now.
Well, that's a little bit of, that's kind of a question mark. So basically, one grand discussion, because we've talked about the $1.5 million in ready money that we're getting to fund this design engineering, so you all are going to be getting a contract possibly the next meeting. We go through that, and the way the contract is going to be structured is that you all enter the contract. However, the ready money is funding it. So basically, you all come in, approve the submission gets turned over to River Hills, who's the grant administrator for ready in the RDA, and they will pay the bill. So we're not paying anything here, but we are the holder of the project. So we control the design and engineering. Once the design engineering is done, then within the segments that she referenced, the segments will then, it's the responsibility of the individual stakeholders to construct their segment. So whether it's the Starlight segment, that's on the Starlight stakeholders and board. The board segment, that's them. The DNR segment, that's their portion. So this is that overcapacity in our collection system conversation, the odor issue at high school, town center service, that whole area, the issues that we talked about through master plan. At one point, there was talk about redirected flow from Perry Crossing back down Allentown with a new series of force mains. At one point, there was a new gravity system that was discussed going through low-lying areas, kind of running from Perry Crossing to Eichel down to 31. You know, all of that got pushed off the wayside, and basically this was built into it. So to remind you, we have you guys at the table, Clark County Commissioners at the table, USDA is at the table, Indiana Finance Authority is at the table, Indiana DNR is at the table, the Town Board is at the table, and Starlight Stakeholders at the table. So again, this is just the design engineering phase, and once that's complete, each segment gets basically distributed, and this is the whole scope. When this thing is constructed, 2 years, 10 years, whatever, Indiana DNR, Deans Lake will be the customer of the town's Ellsberg wastewater facility. The town of Borden will have their own wastewater treatment facility. They will pump any additional runoff to us. They will be your customer. So they are pumping their additional flows to the town of Ellsberg through that. So again, this allows to grow that out-of-town customer base to commercial wholesale users, which is going to in turn help us keep our in-town rates low. You all will have a contract meeting, hopefully about next week.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie and Lori. Appreciate it. Anything else? Any other questions?
Really, it was just to bring it up so that you guys are, we're trying to stay ahead of things like that, so that way we're not just dropping them on you. You doing it here?
We appreciate it.
Thank you
very much. That's admirable.
All right. Okay. Our next discussion is the wastewater crane truck discussion. I just know this is something that I have pushed for a long time. I see the need for a lot of the strategic work that our guys are doing. I know I watched a lot of money go out the door, you know, I know it was aggravating, coordinating, Kearney, our wastewater superintendent, to see this money go out to someone else. So I think this is a great opportunity for us to start doing some in-house repairs and cleanouts and stuff as contracting out up to, let's say, $100,000 possibly per year. So I just asked Charlie, look into this thing. We've looked into a couple of different options now. You know, I believe that this discussion tonight will consist of something that's a lot more heavier duty of a vehicle other than just something that you see drives down with a little welder generator type thing with a little crane on it. So Charlie, you can go on ahead and go see what you want to say.
We pay in Bray Bridge, we pay just over $100,000 averaging per year or so to have our cranes pool. We call in a company to come in and pool our pumps out of our wet well. So what is a wet well? Wet well is the stations. That's where the low point where the sewer runs to. There are pumps in it and basically pumps it back into another line. We have approximately 50 stations here in town currently. Every station has at least two pumps, some have three. Of those stations and of those pumps, I think there is two stations that we currently have capability to pull pumps personally. Often we pull pumps all the time, multiple times a week in some cases. They have to be refurbished, repaired, or replaced. We keep extra pumps at the sewer station in case one goes out, we can pull it, get it repaired, get it refurbished, it goes back into the inventory. We replace it with one that's in working fashion, put it down in the hole, and our users are no interruption of service from that standpoint. So in pricing this out, the conversation is Brad is the sewer liaison. We discussed this multiple times about getting the service truck. We met with NAPID to spec out a truck based on the depths of our stations, some of our stations, as well as the weight capacity needed to pull those pumps. And from there, we then turned around and started quoting vehicles for this truck. From a size perspective, I want you to picture our RMC bucket truck. It's about that size. But instead of having a bucket on, it's got a crane. That's more or less what we're looking at here. These things are coming in over our benchmark as far as in-house pricing, so we're going to do this from a public bid perspective. Within, I've got two so far. I've got one from General Mills Ford, and I've got one from Cool Chevrolet. I'm waiting on a third, utilizing the NAPID specs for the utility and crane truck portion of that. And basically, we're just looking at the chassis, and they're coming in about $160,000. So I just want to kind of keep going, $160,000. So I just want to keep going today on that.
Charlie, is that with the boom and everything already?
Yes, it's all ready.
And while I'm talking to you here, just so I'm fully understand, when we go out and lease the truck that comes in that has the boom on it, that lowers it, are we using our crew or does someone come?
Someone brings it.
They bring it, but do we do the installation in-house for new pumps?
We are on site assisting with them.
Okay, so outside of the truck, is there going to be an additional cost for manpower?
I think it depends on what's going on. Typically, we can pull the pumps and change them out ourselves.
Most of the time, we're doing it with that piece of.
Correct, unless it's something just extremely special with the electrical side of it, that we can pull it aside.
I know we had discussed some figures, and it's really kind of a no-brainer for us to have this vehicle.
This would pay for itself in 2 years.
Okay, thank you.
So again, just kind of an update within that conversation, so you all are aware.
What is the lifespan average of the trucks?
I mean, they're not, it's not everyday drop vehicles. I mean, we want to make things secure for years. We have crane trucks in down there now, and we still use, it's like a 1989. But it's, again, the cranes, the weight on the pallet on, so we can't.
So potentially purchasing this truck to save down over the course of 10 years, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Working conservatively.
And would you
three bidders and...
Well, about public, so if you notice in the paper, it could be somebody from Columbus, you know, so we'd have to have a $50,000 threshold, which is...
This left the only way of trying to utilize our neighboring providers.
Correct.
All right, our last bit of new business is our DNR motor park deed restrictions. In front of you all, you have a quick claim deed in front of you, talking about 411 Oak Street, Sullivan, Indiana. This is a property that I know Charlie has been trying to get some grant money, and I appreciate his hard work and determination and continuation to stay on this, this long journey that was started probably 5 years ago. So unfortunately, COVID came about, and we kind of really had to try to start the process all over again. And when we tried to start that process over again, that $700,000 project went to $1.4, $1.5 million. So now we have some other options. I think him and his Park and Recreation Board that work diligently on, along with the support of our Councilman Mobley, to be able to figure out a way to use some of these funds and to do some exciting things in our park. So,
all right, so this goes back to the federal land and water conservation grant to try to get the splash pad installed at the park. So, right before this council took office, the last council at the end of their term acquired 4.5 acres, through the Parks Board, acquired 4.5 acres to expand Mosley Park. So you've got the original pool property, and you've got the wooded area that we now cleaned, and now it's nice, grassy, green space over there. Great. That parcel that was recently acquired is listed on the deed as being owned by the town of Park. However, the portion of the property that we are doing the grant with is not owned by the parks, it is owned by the town of Sellersburg, therefore you guys, and it is managed by the park. As part of the grant, there is a requirement that we have to add language to the deed that basically, and it's in italics on the bottom of the sheet and top of the next, that basically, in long and short, that this property will wholly or partly convert it into public outdoor space. I don't, you got to keep it a park. Long and short, you got to keep it a park. You have to put it on your deed. So basically, I'm asking you all to vote for this language. I have to then submit this back to Indiana Department of Natural Resources for them to review and approve. And then once they approve it, I can go down to the recorder's office and report this to the recorder's office so we can actually maybe start the project. The splash pad project that we've been trying to do for 2.5 years now. I'd like to get a splash pad at Mosley Park. This is one of the other little steps that we have to do. So I'm going to get this. So I'm going to ask the council for consideration to adopt and approve this language. That way we can then turn around and submit it back up to the Department of Natural Resources for the state of Indiana, and then review this, hopefully approve it, and I can take it down to Clark County Recorder's Office and record this, and we can continue this process and hopefully get it under construction on this way.
Jake, is that going to be an ordinance resolution?
You said just a vote would be fine with the language, because in case DNR takes back anything else from a form standpoint, we just want to make sure we have the required encumbrance language.
Make that motion to move forward.
All right, got a motion by Matthew, second. Second by Terry. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Okay. All right, any general comments from the public tonight? Charlie Ferris, he lives on Highway 60. The address is
9108. Where is Mosley Park?
Swimming pool.
The pool is a swimming pool.
Oh, okay.
All right. And what about the Sprigler Park? It's really open.
Greenbrier Apartments, they're behind the Wendy's.
Behind the old ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right.
Me and the ballpark question for that easy.
Too much.
That's the old ballpark question.
All right, anyone else? Okay. All right, staff report, Charlotte.
Okay, buckle up.
CC
CMG paving, hopefully, we had a conversation last week, we started marking roadways. Gonna start looking at maybe next week possibly, or the week after. I think we're gonna start Adams Creek and then head over, I can't remember where else, Cove Bridge, actually, I think, the entryway there at Cove Bridge. So, I had people keeping an eye out for the signs. We've had that conversation with the contractor about giving 3 to 5 days notice about no street parking during those days and the times, and stick to those times so people are aware of what's going on in that. So we'll be looking for paving crews to start here in the next couple of weeks. And I've had this conversation with Councilman Langford within his district. Apple Leaf Lane, so Apple Leaf Lane from 60 to about Greenwood is technically, I think it is a county roadway within the town. From Greenwood to, on Apple Leaf, from Greenwood to where the woods are on the right if you're heading south is a town road. And then from Apple Leaf, from the wooded area on down to about the bridge, is the town of Clarksville. So where you have Cary Drive, Equestrian Estates, that little section of roadway in front of that neighborhood is the town of Clarksville. I met with the county engineer last week regarding that because he had asked if you all would be interested in a relinquishment agreement for that section of Apple Leaf coming from 60 to Greenwood. Also, when they did the realignment of exit 7 and 60 back in like 95 or something, there's a portion of Paint Culver that is county. From NDOT right of way past Avco Boulevard through the turn, you can see the asphalt changes over. It's back in this section. I thought about bringing up to you guys basically what I asked them to do. Apple Leaf, especially Paint Culver, really not in bad shape, it doesn't even restripe it. So I asked if they restripe that. The section of Apple Leaf, the first section of Apple Leaf is concrete, about halfway back to Greenwood Road. I asked if they repave the asphalt section of the drive lanes and then restripe the entirety of that as well. He said he would take it to the county commissioners and ask if they'd be on board. That I thought I'd bring it up to you to see if you guys are on board, if everybody's amicable with it, look at a relinquishment agreement for that section of Paint Culver.
Actually, what we're looking for is them to bring it up to spec before we sign off on it,
more or less. So, just want to kind of put that on the radar. Norman Drive, if you all recall, you all approved an agreement with NDOT related to Norman Drive. As part of the NDOT project on 65, NDOT came to the table and basically did an agreement with the cost estimate that we had provided to them to repave that section of Norman Drive through the intersection on that Wildwood right there. I did solicit quotes for that. I've got a quote from Lynch Paving for $29,493.10. I got a quote from Temple & Temple for $23,160 even. I got a quote from Wingham Paving of $16,100. So I would ask that you all approve Wingham Paving for the $16,100 to do that section repave in accordance with that $10 agreement that we're getting paid for. So basically, NDOT's going to give us the money to receive that money.
Do you need a motion on that?
I do need a motion. That's just the section with the NDOT agreement.
Our agreement was for them, the money was a lot more substantial.
It is.
I didn't hear that part of the conversation. What was that?
Just to make sure that it was still on the same agreement.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So you need a motion to spend 16.
Well, I just want to bring you all the NDOT agreement. Would you like to vote on that?
I vote aye.
Second.
I vote
aye.
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 Motion approved.
I'll submit those copies of those quotes to NDOT and to DGL so we can keep that going. Wingham is our CCMG paving contractor this year. And I think they're so much less expensive because they're already going to have all their equipment on site. There's no mobilization, demobilization. We are paving parts of Forest Estates back there. So they're going to be right there anyway. I think we're going to do that part of that, which is obviously much less expensive. So works out to our advantage. You all approved a compensation job class study back in October. Michelle Metcalf, HR Director, Secretary, and I had a Zoom call with Representative Adam last Friday. There are some updates, they have sent those to me later this afternoon, I have not had a chance to review them. I would like to ask you all, when you all would like to have a workshop, to present these findings, and have that conversation.
You should.
I guess my question is, when would you like to have it?
Available.
Any workshops don't have to be before the meeting, so they just have to be published, so you know what they're doing.
I miss it all the time, so. I just do every stuff for me, just trying to work, but Saturday, I don't care what it is, Sunday, if I have events, I always do it, bring it all the time.
I'll circle around some emails with some things and times, you know, back to the department. All right, the reminder, Shakespeare Park is this Saturday, it's just 30, there's some signs that went up today, on social media, so hopefully we have a great turnout, hopefully the weather cooperates, with that, so, Midsummer's Night Dream is the production that they're doing this year, so. 6:30 over here at Wilkinson Park, bring a camp chair, bring a blanket, bring a picnic, and kind of enjoy some culture here in the town of Sellersburg.
I can't tell what I'm more excited about, the raffle truck or Shakespeare Park. I'll be there.
And this is side of our conversation, we are hosting a wastewater treatment plant tour for students at Sellersburg High School this week. So the class that I go speak to is an environmentalist class, I think it's a great opportunity to showcase the facility, being that it's still under construction, I don't think our contractors are real happy with this, they can't have guys on site working while we have children on the site. I want to thank JTL for providing proper PPE, taking kids out there, so we'll have two of them on 11:30, another group at 1:30. To do a tour of the wastewater treatment plants, with half of it being operational, the other half still under rehab, you can see what it looks like without all the liquid in there. So I think it's a unique opportunity for this class. Talking to Ms. Ivers over there, she's, Ms. Lovers is pretty excited about it, she said the kids were very interested, so this might be the start of a, maybe it's an annual thing we do with the high school, or something, or do some private tour or something, so we'll see how it goes.
Would I be able to?
If you want to, I just can't have more than two of you.
Well, I missed the first one because I, you know, someone gave me the wrong date.
11:30 and 1:30 on Wednesday, you're welcome to attend, sir.
Okay, any names?
Yeah, sure.
That's it?
Charlie, before you go, I have a question. While we were talking about striping, roads in the county and relinquishments. The section of Perry Crossing, which is the entrance to Cover Bridge and Highway 60, is striped. I've had numerous residents, constituents in my district ask me, do they ever plan on restriping? They claim that, and I've seen it too, so it's not just a claim. It's hard to see when it rains, you can see the lines. And things like that. And I know it's a county road, but with the fact that NDOT is going to be doing major rehab on Highway 60 between 111 and Poindexter, and they have plans for that roadway, would it behoove us to have a conversation with the county to say, hey, since most of our constituents in that district use either that road or Bennettsville, which I don't know, we don't own any, we don't have any jurisdiction over Bennettsville, those are two major thoroughfares that thousands of residents use that live in the town of Sellersburg, should we not have the conversation with the county to say, what harm or good does it do, or can you please stripe it, or can we do something?
So I've looked at striping, I've put together a striping package for this year. Duvalde Street being included in that, that's designated some of the street parking sites that we have on Duvalde Street, and Perry Crossing. Lines are more out on Perry Crossing. Our jurisdiction stops if you're heading out of Cover Bridge towards 60. Our jurisdiction stops 50 yards before you get to Autumn Ridge. So from that section to 60 is a county roadway. That's a conversation we can have with them about splitting that expense. I've been putting down thermoplastic striping lines because they last for years. compared to doing paint, because they last for a year, or two, maybe. So looking at doing that section, and then if you're going the other direction on Perry Crossing towards 31, our jurisdiction stops maybe 50 yards past pump house, the pump station right there at the main farm is where our jurisdiction is.
I'm just saying.
Therefore, for that section that's attractive, yes, we had had some.
Well, we're going to hear from them, we don't have any money, we signed the budget, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm just saying, for the main farm, just from the Adams farm all the way to 60, instead of chopping it up, why don't they just give it all to us? I mean, we're already servicing that road via cell phone.
Well, so that was a little bit different. So like, we had probably had that conversation for St. Joe East, because the town of Sellersburg borders the south side of St. Joe East to 60. We don't order anything on that section of Perry Crossing. North or south of Perry Crossing. Because of the way our jurisdictional lines are drawn, that section of Perry Crossing, so like, you know, I've had some conversations with Commissioner Glover, Councilman Amos about potentially coming up with some really important agreements for St. Joe East, because we do border. Basically touches our world here in the town. Same thing on Poindexter. That looks outside of Poindexter. Once you got to the roadway, it's all counts up. Perry Crossing.
I get it. The borders, I understand all that, but I'm just trying to be common sense and realistic to understand that thousands of people in our town, under town limits, use that road. It's not being maintained properly. They're not doing the things they need to do. Or they haven't been informed officially, and I'm sure they have. I know I've had numerous conversations. So instead of chopping it up, this 300 feet is the county, and this, just don't give us a whole road. Because at the end of the day, they're not the ones that have to listen to residents that call your office, or call me, or call the chief. And when we talk about fog lines and median strips in the roadway, that is, someone gets on a head-on accident. I don't know, chief, you have more experience than I do. By a few years, but I think we're in the same world of, well, who's going to investigate that?
Probably us.
Okay. And if we don't have the right stripes and pavings to have, someone would have a legitimate argument in the world of law. I'm not going to call them Jake, but to defend them if they cross double yellow and hit somebody head on, and that's what we want to prevent to begin with. So, if you would like me to be present, I know Commissioner Glover, and I know Mr. Kaufman and all those people, but it's just, to me, it just seems common sense. We're salting that hill anyway, aren't we? When it snows, more than likely we'll get there before the county. But we're not putting any salt down that road at all, just our sections. So, basically, we go from 60 to the entrance to Cover Bridge, and we turn the salt on, turn it off.
We don't come down 60.
No, I'm just saying, we have to treat that section of Perry Crossing as ours.
Mm-hmm. We don't come down. Our routes take us up Allentown Road, Cover Bridge, Perry Crossing, we go into Auto Ridge and turn right away.
But there's sections of Perry Crossing that are in the town.
We do those sections between.
Right. So we turn it on and we turn it off. And then we go to Auto Ridge and do our half of Auto Ridge, which makes no sense to me either. That's a whole other topic. I'm just saying, can we have the conversation to look in the future to say, if these roads aren't being maintained properly, if they're not, the county's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, whether it's budget-wise, manpower-wise, or ability, or lack of concern, whatever it is, knowing that tens of thousands of residents, whether in District 1 or whatever, use these roads, maybe we should take the lead. I'm just saying, it's just a thought.
I like I said, to be very honest with you, I too wish we could come, and I think we are getting closer with our kind of commissioners, giving up an understanding. I think they fight it the way themselves in many ways of just, okay, here we're in Sellersburg, but we're only taking care of four different partial roadways to get to a state road. So I think our point is, and what we've asked out of them was, come up, here's our thoughts, you know, can you give us X amount of dollars just for salt? Let's say you mentioned about snow. so we're willing to do that, you know, as far as getting Tri-Ass over there in Terry's district, or in Greenleaf, okay, get it up to code. You know, that road needs some pavement work, as we know there on Perry Crossing as well, so I think we can probably just, you know, come up with a kind of an inventory list and probably have a bid. I think that might be the best route to go, and I'd love for you to want to sit in that.
And we've talked, and Commissioner Glover and Brian Jason and I, Brian Jason, I've had this conversation, I have preliminary, you were aware of, we talked about, like, 311. I think we all know 311 doesn't get as hit as we would like in town from a priority standpoint. I know they have districts left in the three districts in the county as far as salt application, trying to apply all that stuff. It's like, hey, we're here, we're driving these roads already. We'll salt them as we're coming through, but it's our taxpayer's salt. You need to reimburse that. So how do we come to that arrangement? How do we come up with those estimates and amounts? How do we take delivery of it? That type of conversation is what we're having. So as we go into next winter, some of these roadways, namely St. Joe's, 311, Poindexter, you know, how do we work that out fairly between county government, what they're spending their monies on for, you know, road treatments versus what we're spending on our road treatments? I know 2 years ago it was very difficult to get salt. If we salted the county roads, we would have been. So, I mean, had we not turned off the salt spreaders at our borders, we'd have been in a hard way without having those agreements in place. I think it's what we're working on.
I mean, just like I said, I'm all for it. If you need me to be part of the conversation, I know the section of Bennettsville from the railroad tracks from 60 to the entrance of Cove Bridge, there's another subdivision down the street as well. I mean, Bennettsville has become one of the most highly traveled roads in the area. Access points, the ease of access, and just I think it behooves us, and you do a fantastic job of looking forward down the future of what's going to be best for the town, versus having someone else control, for lack of better terms, controlling what we do for our residents. I'd rather be in the driver's seat, and I think you agree with that.
I do too. I mean, and not to attract, you know, we keep on going about it, but I think this council, you know, with us moving forward with restricting our code enforcement, getting through the people, you know, in conversation and things, but, you know, it really comes down to that developer takes advantage, you know, that road opportunity, and that's what really makes it kind of tough. I think somehow or another, I wish the rules could be a little bit more tighter, you know, on a developer from their artery and exits in and enters. You know, make sure that there is enough roadway, you know, right away. So, but I think that's a great conversation. So, I thank you. Anybody else? Chief, you got anything today?
No.
Okay. Corey, do you have some information? I know you handed out some stuff to us tonight.
I do.
Hopefully, good news. Can we go to meetings in a row?
Hey.
All right.
Okay.
Hey.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad. No.
That's what you think.
Oh, now I'm new. It's in service.
All right. Does anybody in Philadelphia notice an improvement in water volume or water pressure or any burn from anybody?
So, again, the pressure. The only way to increase pressure is to raise the elevation of our water
but the water pumps.
And this is about consistent pressure. So to test that, now this is in service, JTL actually went out today and placed pressure logs on one hydrant, two hydrants. So a hydrant based in the middle of the neighborhood to basically run it for 7 days and see what the log readings are on average to see on the see where our fluctuations look like.
It's actually at, I think, near the intersection of Nevada and Alabama. And that hydrant is the last one before it dead ends. So that would be, that's it's a pretty good place to test. So we've got a logger in there, it'll sit there for a week, it'll pull at certain intervals. I don't know, I didn't even ask Thomas what he said at the interval that day when he took it out there, but he said it for, we'll record data for a week. We'll take it and we'll be able to see if there's any fluctuations at any specific times, and if there's any, we'll be able to see if there's anything going on.
Thank you.
But as far as if there should be any pressure concerns from that line being connected, or if there should be any major, like, pressure problems if there were solved, the point in creating that was to create a loop. So that's gonna prevent, you know, any, it should relieve any pressure, you know, changes, any major pressure changes, as well as preventing, you know, kind of that like stagnant water sitting in the lines where you need that continual flushing and exercises like that.
I grew up out there, so I was familiar with fluctuations in water pressure.
So it should provide for some consistency.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The system connection, we are still working with the contractor on that. Butler Road. Our survey crews are out there today. They'll be out there again tomorrow. We did review our conceptual, I guess about a 10% kind of overview with Charlie. I guess now it's been almost 2 weeks ago. I do think we're going to be able to serve those guys with gravity instead of having to put pumps out there. So that's going to be awesome. As far as the treatment plant goes, again, everything's, you know, moving along pretty well. You do have, I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit to the back phase here, so I'll explain a little bit of what happened. So the dewatering building equipment was being installed and was expected to be operational this month. However, there was a delay in the delivery of the equipment and the conveyor support, so they weren't expecting the startup to begin until the beginning of May. However, there was a water pipe that was installed and it was not supported appropriately. The water pipe leaked at a joint. And one of the control panels became soaked with water. Electrical, water, not the best combination there. Therefore, we have issued a defective work notice to the contractor as of last Monday, which that's what you have attached to the back of your report here, just so you can see a copy of what we said. Given that the control panels do take, they're about a year lead time, and your control panel has about a year warranty, so we went ahead, called it defective. They're still going to try to, dry it out, see if they can get it to work in the meantime. If they cannot get it to work in the meantime, they will be responsible for making sure that there's a press on site, and it will have to be there until the new control panels are here. So. So, that happened.
None of this is on the town's side.
That's correct.
This is all on the contractors or those who installed the pipe, regardless if it takes a year to get a new control panel.
That's correct.
And that truck's out there pumping at $30,000 a month, that's on them.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
But otherwise, treatment plant's doing great. Let's see, Camp Run, really it's just the decorative signage that we're still waiting on there. And then, State Road 60, they found that a force main was actually only 6 inches below grade. So that's going to require relocation. And so we are working on getting quotes in for that. we have one in from Christianity right now. We had another, actually, the response from Pace that they are not available to do that right now, and we are waiting on one back from E&B, the contractor that's out there on the site.
And to be clear, we would have had to done this anyway. If, you know, whatever, if all things being equal, supposed to be 36 inches, it was 9 at one point, 18 at another. We thought we were going to be able to get by. Had the porch main been where it was, we would have had the porch main been where it is now. If we'd known that it's not necessarily to the as-built design specs, we would have moved it anyway. So, Councilman, it's not a change order.
I understand. You know how I feel about that. How long has that porch main been there? Your estimation?
7 years.
7?
Mm-hmm.
9 inches below ground?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a lot of activity in that area, so that's the, it's hard to know if it was actually installed at 36 inches or not.
I know there's been a lot of activity there.
So there's no way to go back and tell, unfortunately. And then I think Charlie already covered your CCNG. So what kind of questions do you have for me?
Two quick things. Several months ago, you all had voted to move forward on certain properties there in front of Lakeside Estates. I think you voted 24-1. We had some conversations in the executive session without going into too much detail. I believe what I gathered was, and I'd be looking for an affirmative vote here for some official action, is that the same amount, which is just under $60,000, that we would offer that to the owner of the property who was here before the Board of Zoning Appeals. It's my understanding that the applicant or the representative on behalf of the applicant stated that they would be willing or wanted to put in a single family residential development, and that this same value of $60,000 to assist with the development from the infrastructure alone to allow secondary access on the lakeside versus moving forward with the 3224-1 action. So if that was my understanding, I would request you all take a vote in the affirmative to offer the development agreement, whether it's through this board or the redevelopment commission, to offer an amount not to exceed $60,000 for the infrastructure development, mainly the road or secondary access on the left side, the exit, and ingress and egress. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. So I guess we're asking after our discussions for a motion for the up to $60,000.
So
moved. Got a motion by who first? Sorry. Terry, second by Matt. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay. Motion approved. Thank you.
Thank you. Last thing, we sent an email from the Indian Municipal Road Association, AIM, out of Indy. Every year, you know, ask the board, you know, if you all have me to attend, go ahead and get this kind of brainstorm motivations. I've sent that to Michelle Metcalf, and so whether or not Mr. Smith, I think he drove up both different days last year. So found it pretty good thing. So just ask the people.
I'll make that motion to approve it.
Okay. We got a motion by Matt. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Scott. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Same sign, nay.
No,
motion
no.
Approved. Thank you. Well, let's see, you guys missed last meeting, so I'll let you invite it over. So, Randy, you want to go, first? Or you?
I'm good. Yeah, just I've been having a couple meetings trying to catch up, and Charlie's kindly kept me briefed about most things that matter to the district, matter to the town, and I appreciate that, Charlie. Thank you for being there for me, and I get help from Michelle anytime I call her. She always helps me out and advises me what's going on, but I had to be out for a couple of weeks, had some surgery done on my foot, and appreciate you guys picking up the slack for me, and as I said, I really don't know what's going on, so thank you.
Okay, all right, thank you.
I just thank you guys for stepping in and helping out one of them, so, other than that, just thanks for all the hard work and time.
All right, okay. Harry, you wanna go?
I just wanna say I met one of our newest employees the other day, don't remember his name, but he was very enthusiastic about going to work for us, and came out and recommended for his employer, so, welcome aboard.
Yeah.
That's all.
A lot of stuff going on around town, obviously, whether it's infrastructure, or parks, or repairs, and appreciate everything that all of our employees do, especially Michelle, she's really good. Credit for what she does. Hopefully the weather warms up and stays there. I don't think it's a question of warming up, but it just stays there. Everybody can do well and great stuff we have going around town. And appreciate all you guys do.
All right, well, just from my perspective, just glad to see the sunshine. Skies are nice and blue. Hope the Shakespeare in the Park turns out to be a great success this upcoming weekend. Again, appreciate the job that every one of our employees do. Appreciate everything our police do. Like I said, just to remember, it's daylight till almost 9 o'clock, 9:30 here soon to be. Just remember to watch your speed, your neighborhoods, and your neighboring areas. Like I said, again, I appreciate the chief and this council, you know, supporting, you know, the signage that's needed to let our drivers know that, hey, look, see, slow down a little bit. This town's been a very friendly town for many, many years. And as our town grows, we're very fortunate, and I appreciate that. So, like I said, everything keeps moving forward with the progress over there at Poindexter. Just remember while you are traveling on Highway 60 there, you know, be patient and understand that, you know, there's some work being done, and you know, you're still going to get you know, to your next place of direction sooner than later. So again, that's all I have to say. Shelby, yeah. Lattis. All right, with that, I ask for a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, motion by Matt, that's a second. Second by Scott, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
7:13.